This is one of the most beautiful passages, of course, in John's Gospel, and we see it, of course, on billboards and in the stadiums and everything else, and everybody is aware of, you know, John chapter 3 and the importance of, you know, God so loving the world. In fact, so important, I just named my new, entitled my new book after it, just kidding. But the main thing to recognize is there is this one passage that's so troubling in there that takes away from the beauty of the passage itself, and unless we understand it correctly. At one point, he says, you know, for all who believe will be saved, but anyone who does not believe will not be saved. You say, what? You know, I mean, gosh, there could be somebody in India who doesn't believe and they wouldn't be saved, and so forth. And of course, we have to be very conscientious about what does not believe means in Greek and in John's Gospel. It does not mean a person who doesn't believe because they didn't hear the word. When John uses the word does not believe in the way that it's being used, it really means consciously rejects. In other words, chooses not to believe. It doesn't mean doesn't believe because of an historical accident, right? You didn't hear the word of God. You never heard of Jesus Christ. That is an by the way, there are two other passages in John which directly contradict that interpretation. So it's impossible that John could mean that anyway, but just if you want to, I can send you an entire article on this, which I wrote. So, of course, there's these other passages which militate against that interpretation. But the second thing that's very clear, too, is that the does not believe or chooses not to believe has to be a rejection of the light, as the greater context of the passage says. So let's just now kind of review, you know, what's happening here in this Nicodemus passage, what's happening, you know, in this, you know, incredible proclamation. God loved the world so much, right? So God so loved the world, right, that he sent his only begotten son into the world. Now imagine that you're living in the first century, and of course you're hearing this for the first time, not like we've all heard of it a million times before. And you're, you know, first of all, of course, the idea of the Son of God, you know, coming into the world, you know, what's the Son of God? You'd have to be kind of catechized and familiar with the Trinity and how that works. You'll get that later on, get some theological credit for it. But right now, let's just say the Son of God comes into the world and is sent into the world by the Father. Right, and the only possible way of explaining that act is not because God has any intention to condemn the world. Why would God send his only son into the world? Why would he and his son accept human finitude to come into the world? Why would they accept the human nature? Why would they accept the trivialities of and the restrictions of human suffering? Why and the pain of human suffering? And why would they enter into a self-sacrificial death? The only possible interpretation is gift of self, which, as we know from John's Gospel, right, there is no greater love than a man can have than to give his life for his friends. That greatest act of love, that unconditional love, that infinite love, that unrestricted love, that's the love that God has for us. The world here means the whole of humanity, right? The whole of humanity in history. God so loves each one of us individually and so and all of us collectively that, of course, he spares nothing, enters into our human finitude and sacrifices himself, the Son does. And of course, being the will of the Father suffers as much as the Son in the Son's own suffering, right? The Father gives himself over in complete self-sacrifice as well. So it's the Father's unrestricted and unconditional act of love as well. That's the only thing that will make sense out of this gift. All we need to do is choose to believe, and in that belief, to try to follow the Lord. And if we can't, right, you know, sometimes if we don't stay on the road and we kind of get off the track, to come back on the track by relying on the mercy of God. And when that happens, right, when, you know, we do that, we're going to be saved. That's just what the words say literally. You're going to be saved. But if you choose knowingly to reject that love, to reject the Son, if you choose not to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to rely on His mercy, to rely on the act of love that saved the world, you choose to reject the very instrument, the only instrument that can save you, the unconditional love of God. If you reject that, boy, I mean, it's crazy almost, is what John is, St. John is telling us, what Jesus is telling. It's crazy to do that. But if you did it, you would choose literally to reject the very vehicle of your own salvation. So John says, don't do that. Choose belief. Choose to follow the Son. Choose to follow the unconditionally loving God. Choose to be like Him, and you will be saved. That's the ultimate proclamation of today's gospel. Amen.